Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That's right. The boys are back. It's 96.5 The Fan. Fesco Dusty, executive producer, Mac Morey. Good morning. Happy Monday. An underrated day of the week, or as Bob Fesco would say,
right, yeah.
The worst day of the week.
Actually, Sunday without football is by far the worst day of the week.
Luckily, you haven't had to do that for quite some time.
I know. We had a couple of Sunday night games last night. Who was watching preseason football, baby? Who got lathered up with Drake May?
Not me. I was watching Seinfeld.
And offensive linemen colliding with each other. I was as well. I turned it on for a hot minute because I thought Jalen Daniels would be playing. And I'm like, all right, want to see a little bit what's going on? And I got Tyler Henneke or whoever the hell played last night. Lucas Duda or whoever was playing quarterback for Washington. Which, by the way, only Washington could mess up a black uniform, right? Like, only the Washington football team could release a black-on-black, black helmet uniform, and it look absolutely terrible.
Not know where that was.
Oh, my God. It is awful, awful. I want a black uniform for the Chiefs. I would love a black helmet, Matt, with the red arrowhead, white outline. Black jerseys, black pants, let's go. And I think it would look really good. Red numbers, get rid of the yellow. I love the black-on-black uniforms. Washington has that thing last time. Like, that's terrible. Just like everything about that franchise. Just terrible.
Yeah, you leave it in charge to Dan Snyder. That's not good.
It's like he tried to be bad, right? Like, how bad is Dan Snyder? He tried to be bad as the owner of that football team. And then here we sit. So congratulations to them. So yeah, a little preseason action last night. And then I was like you, I was on to Seinfeld.
it was on Comedy Central, like on a loop.
Yes, it was yesterday.
So I said, why not just do this? And, was the episode I got to watch last night.
Oh, so nice. Yeah.
I'm starting to get the references more and more as I go back and rewatch it. Cause it's been 25 years.
Yeah. Well. But, it's been 25
and the
minutes.
2-2 to Bobby. Swing and a fly ball center field and deep. Back goes Rojas. It is gone. A line drive home run to straightaway center field. 111 off the bat. And the Royals are on the board.
Well, Bob, that was about the only good thing about yesterday.
Yeah, there were two other home runs yesterday in that game that the Royals had, but they only scored three runs, three solo shots. That was it, but boy.
Mikel would home run, and so would MJ, but they would still end up losing again 11-3.
11-3. Royals hit three home runs, and they lose 11-3. You buying that? No. Oh, wait, that actually did happen. Two nights in a row, they got their teeth kicked in, right, against Philadelphia, and you just got to flush this weekend, bro, and move on. Like, there's nothing you can do because everything you're playing for still in front of you beginning today at noontime here on 96.5
The Fan. Must be nice,
right?
Alex and Cody.
Yeah, Alex
Must
and Cody
nice.
Go to Vegas and come home and do an hour show. Like, do you think they did any sort of work last night getting ready for this hour? Probably not, right?
What do you do? You have two segments and two breaks.
Yeah, woo! Really working hard today, Alex and Cody. And then you got Carrington, who is not going to see the light of day on the air for I don't know how long because you got two games today, day games, night games, all kinds of games going on. So it's busy time for the Royals. But this weekend, man, you just got to flush it and move on because I didn't learn anything, if you will, if you want to use that phrase, which is stupid. But I didn't learn anything about the Royals this weekend that I didn't already know, right? You knew their bullpen wasn't any good. And boy, Will Smith, welcome to the party yesterday. You really poured some some gasoline on that one yesterday, my friend. I mean, I don't think you can pitch Will Smith in a situation anymore that is dire, is meaningful. If he's going to be on this roster, Will Smith has got to be just strictly mop-up role, man. That guy's got a 6 ERA right now. So I don't think anything that we saw this weekend is any different than what I thought about this team going into the weekend, right? Like, you had Lugo and Singer on the mound on Saturday and Sunday. You lose both of those games. But I think secretly, Dusty, we were all trying not to mention, like, Lugo getting up there with that innings limit and Singer kind of coming back down to earth a little bit. We knew the bullpen wasn't any good, and we kind of saw that on hand. And, you know, they didn't take advantage of opportunities early in the game. Alec Boehm is running off the field, with two outs in the first inning, totally forgot how many outs. Royals can't take advantage of that, and so they kind of lost that one early yesterday. And then, you know, Will Smith kind of threw gasoline on the fire. But I don't walk away from this weekend feeling any different about the Royals. I still think they're going to win the division. They got four against Cleveland. They're three back. Let's go. Let's do business today.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's a flush it, move on. Look, I asked on X, you know, they had a list of the next 20 games. I said, if you go 10-10, are you happy? Almost unanimously, everybody, without the funny, cheeky people, like, no, I want to go undefeated. Like, I get right, what you're
okay,
doing.
Yeah. Thanks,
which
coach.
I thought you had a burner account for a second.
Oh, no, I don't have time for a regular one.
Right. And so, look, you lose 2 out of 3 to Philadelphia. The common consensus of the question was that, yes, that'd be 500. They'd still be 15 games above 500 at the end of that 20-game series, and they'd be a for-sure playoff team. I think the stat I heard Friday night's game from Jake Eisenberg was they're now further away from being out of the playoffs than they are to winning their division. Because they're 4.5 up on Boston, but they're three behind Cleveland.
Yeah, Boston tanked over the weekend, too. I mean, they were terrible over the weekend. Minnesota giving one away yesterday.
Really, it was just Cleveland and New York that did everything right, and Cleveland really didn't do a ton of things right. They just gained a game.
Yeah.
Or I guess two. But hey, four's coming up. Like, this is it. You had 9 hours. I don't know who got more sleep, us or the Royals, because this is where it goes. And I think listening to Vern's postgame show, the common narrative that I kind of discovered is that I'm not saying that this team has to play perfect, but they kind of got to play perfect.
They kind of do.
If they don't capitalize on an error, or they have an error, or they leave, you know, a guy on in the first, because what was it Sunday? You were there.
Yeah, right.
Mikel base hit. Bobby base hit.
Yeah.
And nothing.
And it's like, you got to get that in. You got to score there. Like, as soon as Mikel Garcia led off the game with a hit, I'm like, all right, we got some runs. Right away, you're like, all right, we got some runs. And then nothing happened. And they didn't take advantage of that. And you've seen them in games before really take advantage of that. Like, for me, you know, it's not automatic, obviously, but it feels like when Garcia leads off a game and gets on, that's a run. Because you got Bobby, you got Vinny, you got Salvi coming up right behind him. And those guys have been kind of RBI machines, you know, for this ball club this year. But it just didn't happen like that yesterday. And so they didn't take advantage of their opportunities, had a couple of errors. Bobby, you know, a little shaky in the field yesterday, probably should go back to Omaha and get that thing figured out before the playoffs start, I would suggest.
For sure.
Got to get that figured out. You got the yips big time.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, like, you didn't take advantage of those opportunities. And against good teams like, you know, Philadelphia, considered a good team, even though they weren't playing good baseball, they make you pay for not taking advantage of those opportunities. That's like the Chiefs. Like, you don't take advantage against an opportunity against the Chiefs, they're going to stick a fork in your neck and make you bleed out. That's just kind of the way that it goes.
The other thing, too, is that you had a pitching matchup yesterday that should have been on paper completely dominant, because you didn't have to go against their ace. They put in a guy that was a failed first-round draft pick out of Atlanta. He was, like, what, 10-14 with a 5 ERA in his career in the MLB.
And he locked down the Royals.
And the offense was lifeless. It didn't, like you said, they had a chance to put up some runs in the first inning, which could have completely changed the trajectory of that game with your, you know, RBI leader in Vinny Pasquantino, nothing. Mm-hmm. Salvador Perez, base hit or ground ball to Boehm. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, extra out.
Right.
Take advantage. Fall flat on your face. Three runs.
Because Salvi was not running down the line on that play to Boehm at all. Like,
yeah,
Boehm
he was
like,
right in front of you.
I didn't know if Boehm was like mocking Salvi at first because of how slow Salvi was running down the line. But then I realized, oh, Boehm has no idea how many outs there are. This guy's running off the field. And like the dugout's like, stop.
I had the same reaction as Hamilton Porter from Sandlot when Smalls runs the ball into center field. Go, the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then luckily Hudler had the same one. I was like, I want to make sure I wasn't on like Pat McAfee's level when I was watching. Cause I was am I watching this right? Like he just tapped the base and then he's talking to himself. So he knows he messed up.
Oh yeah. And he still could have thrown Salvi out and fired it across the diamond. Cause Salvi, I mean, I don't blame him. It's 100 degrees. You know, you only have so much energy as a human. There's really no reason to run that thing out. And all of a sudden, Salvi's like, oh, this guy's running off the field. I better hustle down the first. And then here we sit. And then, you know, you didn't get an opportunity to break that thing open. That was an opportunity right there. So you got to capitalize on those against the good teams. I promise you, if you get in that situation with Cleveland today, you got to take advantage of it or you're going to see the same result.
The other thing that I think is interesting is at what point do you see this team kind of show you their sort of playoff sort of roster? Right, because we can sit here and talk until, you know, the cows come home about, oh, Lugo and his arm and his innings and it's getting up there. It's like, okay, but you have a guy in your minor league system right now, in Alec Marsh, who you can bring up and be like, hey, we're, you know, and I get it. This is where it's also tough. There's, you know, it's a damn double blade here because you really can't afford to mess up right now, but you've also got to gear up. So
that's why you're rolling out, you know, Cole Reagans today, right? And then Alec Marsh later on, but
which Reagans is your blood stopper.
Yeah.
He has been the last two times.
He's been that guy all year. Yeah.
But I mean, in recency, did it against Boston. Did it, forget who he did against this other time, but lost to,
was it Minnesota?
Lost to, stop it. Lost to, stopped it. Now you go play a doubleheader against Cleveland today. You play a 4-game series. You're 3 games back. In my opinion, you have to go 500 against Cleveland. You have to go two out of two against Cleveland. Some people say, no, you need 3 out of 4. That's fine.
You'd love to take 3 out of 4.
Right. But also the thing is that my perfect scenario for the playoffs, because Michael Wacha has been fantastic and Alec Marsh has a fresh arm. At what point do we start seeing the Will Smiths, the Zerpas, the guys that just continue to bring gasoline to the campfire and see them just be like, you know, almost the Billy Butler route that Ned would do. He's like, hey, man, we're getting to that point. Like, we don't really have a spot for you. I know your legacy in Kansas City. It is what it is. But you're just not doing it for us because you're hitting into double plays. How frustrating was it in 14 when Billy Butler would come up? You'd have a guy on first, double play, turn. Yeah. It's like, Ned finally was like, sorry, man, we can't afford this right now. So at some point, you have to be like, you know what? We have, let's say Singer in a game is going 4 innings, has 75 pitches. And it's like, look, it just ain't happening today. We're going to bring in Alec Marsh or we're going to bring in Michael Wacha for the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Yeah.
They can throw 4 innings. Then that leaves you Irsig if it is, in fact, where it's at. And if you have to lean on Schreiber or something like that, then maybe you can bring him in. But that limits the gasoline coming to the fire. That gives you a little bit more stability in your bullpen, which you definitely need because we know what it is, guys. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. The bullpen will be the reason your team gets out of the playoffs.
No question. No question.
When they make the playoffs.
No question.
I think this is a playoff team.
It's a playoff team, but they get knocked out early because the bullpen can't get the job
done.
There's
going to be one of those games where it's 3-3, 8th inning.
Yeah.
Damn it.
But you have to manage the bullpen now differently. And I think it really kind of does start today. Like, you know, I was sitting, you know, with my wife yesterday and she's like, oh, they got to win this game. And so I pulled the cue and I go, or what, we cancel the rest of the season? And she goes, well, you know what I mean? Like, no, I understand what you mean, but like, I think we have to start managing these games now.
Correct.
Beginning today, like they're postseason games. Because they essentially are. Like, you have a nice lead against the White Sox, or against the Red Sox, right? And the White Sox, for that matter.
Real good lead against them.
Really good
about
lead against
40 of them.
31 and 100. Oh, my God.
Hate to see it.
God, that is, I mean, just, I don't know what I'm more surprised by, the 31 wins or the 100 losses. Like, they only won 31 times this year. Like,
only once against the Royals.
I mean, my God.
At least we only have one bad mark. But no, you're right.
But like in a tight situation, Will Smith's not invited to the party anymore.
Sorry.
Like Angel Zerpa, you're not invited to the party anymore. You may have to ask Irsig to go 2 innings. You may have to ask, well, that's about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Marsh, you know, and Wacha. I go, look, Wacha's been probably their best pitcher this month outside of Cole Reagans.
Yeah.
But again, like that's just what it's got to be. This is, and a lot of things as I bring this up, it's like when the Chiefs got embarrassed on Christmas Day, they went in that locker room and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes sat down. They said, it's Rice. it's Kelce and it's Pacheco, and we'll make this work.
And we'll make it work.
That's how we're going to have to survive. And what they do, they won the whole freaking thing.
Well, you're going to have to rely on like Cole Reagans, man. You're going to have to go deep into the game, and the nerds with the pitch counts need to sit the F down, because this is a situation where we're fighting for our playoff lives right now, and the bullpen doesn't give you the opportunity to win games.
No doubt. Baseball coverage on 96.5 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Coming up, Sunday countdown. You better believe it. We are what, less than 10 days away from the first season, or maybe like 10 or 11 days. Who cares? 3-day weekend. Chiefs play on Thursday following that. Coming up on Fesco and Dusty, it is our Sunday countdown on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on a Monday, Fesco and Dusty with Mac Murray, our executive producer, who was busy dissecting preseason football.
Oh, he was all over it. Yeah.
You know it, man. Oh, man.
Drake May.
Diving down, getting those fantasy numbers ready for you. Getting all that information. I mean, the Niners and the Raiders tied 24-24. How did you miss that? Wow.
How did you miss that?
Over 48. Got the game on right now from last night. It's 10-6 with those putrid Commanders jerseys.
They're just terrible. The whole thing, the name is terrible. The uniform is terrible. The stadium is terrible.
Arugula.
God, they are gross. Hey, did you have a good birthday yesterday, Mac?
I did. Yeah,
Mother,
thanks,
take
man.
You out for a slice of cake? Or
went to Applebee's, man.
Oh, very good.
Love Applebee's. Like big it. Applebee's.
Yeah.
Did you get the Riblet chicken finger basket? By the way, happy belated. I'm sorry I didn't text
no worries,
you.
No worries, man.
I totally forgot what day it was yesterday. It was Sunday.
No, appreciate it, guys. Yeah, great show.
Happy
mates.
Birthday.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So happy birthday to you now.
He hates us.
He probably does, but if it's during the week, we would have played like a happy birthday song or something for you.
913-586-7965. That's the number. Call up and wish Mac a happy belated birthday.
That's right. You can do that. Yes.
We need to get phone calls. The boss says play the hits and get phone calls.
Uh-huh.
913-586-7965. Call up and wish Mac a happy birthday. It's Monday.
It's
Make
Monday.
His day.
Yeah.
Fesco's already pissed that it's Monday. I'm excited that it's Monday. Monday's golf day.
Yeah, 101 degrees. Going to be fun for you out there today. Oh, my God. They already canceled practice at the high schools
that
and whatnot this week, which is smart. You know, it's smart.
I'm an adult, so I'm making my own decisions.
Yeah. Make sure you hydrate. Yeah. Get plenty of water in your system. And you know,
right here,
Gatorade
baby.
Or whatever you want to drink.
Right here.
Good. Not a booze day, I'll tell you that. Like, you go out there and you sweat it out. And, oh, my God, dead on the course. What happened to him? 17 beers later, it was 101 degrees, you know. But make sure you hydrate. Yeah, it's supposed to be miserably hot. I guess today and tomorrow, then it's supposed to break. And, like, next week for the Chiefs home opener, it's supposed to be, like, high of 75. Like, fall is maybe in the air. But, you know, sometime in September, it'll get back up to 100 again. It happens all the time. So. Yep.
And then when it's negative 10, we'll all be wishing
We'll all be complaining, yes.
Day,
Do you realize it was, like, 110 degrees? Difference yesterday than it was, back in August. So here we go.
Go ahead, Aussie. Tell Mac happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mac. How you doing?
Thanks, Austin. Appreciate it, man.
Aussie.
Yeah.
Oh, Aussie. Thank
now
you.
Now he doesn't wish you happy birthday.
Yeah. There it is.
Taking it back.
All right. Thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Welcome. Have a good one. Cheers.
See, how can you not like an Australian accent for your birthday?
Yeah, that's pretty great.
It's very good.
That's very special.
Yeah, so happy birthday to you. Again, you and mother went to Applebee's, you did? Riblets?
It's my third time going to Applebee's my birthday.
Did you get the Oreo shake on a date night?
We went to Andy's after for some custard.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was great.
Very
nice.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Did you get a Brutus at Applebee's? I mean, what else did you get at the Bees?
I got the, what's the honey pepper chicken tenders over the Alfredo pasta?
Like
so good, man.
You seriously went to Applebee's?
Yes, dude, yes.
I have no shame.
Yeah,
good for you.
Bro.
All right.
What mom
eating
get?
Good in the neighborhood?
Yeah, mom got the whiskey bacon burger.
Let's go.
Hold the bacon burger. Just give me the whiskey.
Exactly.
I can't believe I'm taking my grown son to Applebee's for his birthday.
Hell yeah, dude.
Love it, bro. Probably. Did it in college too. My college buddy's like, really, bro? Applebee's? I was like, yeah, man.
Yeah, Applebee's. Like all these places you could go. Like 25 years ago in Kansas City, you didn't have much of an option. We got great restaurants now, right?
I'd love it if my son went to Applebee's. That's a cheap dinner, man. Like, exactly. I didn't worry about
it
that.
It is, Now I'll say the order at Chili's. I think you can get like a burger, fries, an appetizer, dessert for like $10.99. Like that's the way to go.
That's pretty great.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
That's the way to go. I haven't been to Chili's though since around the pandemic time. It's been a while.
Eating good. In the neighborhood. They're still at Mattress Eastbound 70 at Green Valley.
Go get it.
It's leaning against the barrier, so that's a bend in it. Mm-hmm. So there's a bend in it. It's basically one of those adjustable beds now. Come on and get it before it's gone. That's for Zach.
Way to go, Zach. Pick that thing up. Bring it in here to Mac for his birthday.
Yeah, I'll need a bed for the new place.
Speaking of Applebee's, eating good in the neighborhood. The Chiefs have been eating good in the neighborhood of the AFC West for quite some time. And we have our Sunday countdown as we are down to 1 week from this week. And we will start playing meaningful football again when Bob and I can dissect games.
I almost texted you guys last night. What am I supposed to be watching again in this Commanders game?
I was already asleep. Down to one. Top player for the Kansas City Chiefs that is the most important to this year's Super Bowl run. Here's the catch. It can't be named Mahomes, Kelce, or Chris Jones. So text line, you can get involved too. 913-586-7965. Who is the most important member of this team for a three-peat not named Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, or Chris Jones?
All right. I'm going to give mine last because I think you guys are going to absolutely hate my answer.
More than likely. My most important player for this year's three-peat is Trent McDuffie. This defense is not new. It's not different, but it's experienced a little bit more than it was when all these guys that got drafted and were put on this team. And I talk about Leo Chenal, Brian Cook, Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis, all those guys and win that same draft pick. Karlaftis obviously is a leader on the defensive line. He's progressed massively when it comes to his production from 7.5 sacks to 10.5 sacks, could have anywhere from 10.5 to 14 sacks. I truly believe that this year. Trent McDuffie is my most important player on this year's team because of what the league is.
Yeah, it's a passing league.
There's no more L'Jarius Sneed. Now he's cornerback number one. You need somebody to kind of be that leader moving forward. I know Justin Reed people would probably consider to be the leader of this team, or maybe it's Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton hasn't been really the most healthiest person. He's still waiting a contract. We don't know what's going to go on with that. Trent McDuffie screams to me alpha dog on this defense. I know he's not a guy that gets a lot of picks or is flashy like the guy in Dallas who's going to miss a couple weeks or, you know, maybe like Sauce.
Deron Bland out 6 to 8 weeks.
But the thing that's interesting to me about Trent McDuffie is like this is where you can look at yourself and be like, you know what? I want to be the cornerstone of this defense. No pun intended. I want to be the new voice and the leader of this defense. I've always been cool, calm, and collected. And this is year three. And in the NFL, if you're in year three, boy, are you an experienced veteran. He has the skill set. He's the guy. He's going to get the matchups. And I can't wait to see Trent McDuffie be that guy like L'Jarius Sneed was last year, where he's knocking a ball out of Zay Flowers' hands or not allowing touchdowns. You're not doing that. And all of a sudden, everybody on the NFL networks or the big lettered networks are like, man, Trent McDuffie might be the best corner in football. Thank you. How you doing? It's been that way for about 2 years. So my most important player to this year's three-peat is Trent McDuffie. Mac?
I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and by the way, you said him not getting a lot of picks. Zero NFL interceptions. Yeah. I think that will be broken this year.
No, I don't think it will because they're not going to throw to his side. He's not going to have the opportunity to get interceptions. Fair. Like, that's, again, one of those the statistical anomalies that the nerds look at. Go, he doesn't have any interceptions. He must not be any good. Or they're not throwing his way.
Exactly. Tight windows, passes defended. Yeah, he's a monster. But the way he's going to have balls not thrown his way, the way he's going to have elite coverage is if we make quarterbacks get the ball out with that pass rush. My guy, you alluded to him earlier, Dusty, give me furious George Karlaftis. We know he's not going to be getting double teamed. Well, because they don't have the offensive linemen to do that. They're going to have two guys on 95 every time. That's going to give Karlaftis the big opportunities. Well, he had his first year. It was great. He had his second year last year. It was even better. You mentioned it, 10.5 sacks. I'm looking to keep on this
Nobody's
train,
mentioning
baby.
That. Nobody realized that that guy had double-digit sacks, and there's only a handful of guys each year in the league that have that double-digit sacks.
Less than there are teams, there are players that get double-digit sacks. Karlaftis was on that elite list. I think he will continue that progression. And you mentioned if he can get in that teens range, then all of a sudden you've got 23, 24 sacks between two players, and you're forgetting the Dannys, you're forgetting the Nottis, you're forgetting those, you know, maybe FAU has a year, a Minnehue comes back ready to go. Yeah, give me Karlaftis.
Yeah, the top player for me has two names, a first and a last. His name, Harrison Butker. That guy is a weapon that nobody wants to talk about. That guy is a weapon that is as good as we've ever seen in the history of the National Football League. He is the difference maker. Think about all of these games in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Super Bowls, title games, AFC divisional games down 13 seconds. Think about that leg for Harrison Butker and how reliable that is and how much easier it makes the job for this offense late in the game when you only need a field goal or you only need a quick chip shot or maybe you need a game-winning field goal from 55 yards out. To trot Harrison Butker out onto that field as opposed to anybody else in the league right now, and maybe ever. You know, I'm not willing to say and ready to say he's the greatest kicker of all time quite yet, but he's making a case for it. I think if you give your top 5 to 10 kickers in NFL history, Harrison Butker's on that list. And to have that weapon, to have the ability to not have to worry about what's going to happen when your kicker trots out onto the field is anxiety that 76,000 fans don't have to worry about, 53 players don't have to worry about, nobody has to worry about, because you know Harrison Butker is going to come on the field and kick that thing through the uprights. And so to have a guy like that be as reliable as he is, that's a guy that I think right now the season comes down to. If you have a horse's ass at kicker, there is no chance that he's going to win a game for you. You know when Harrison trots out there, you've got this thing in the bag.
Love it.
Yeah, I'll probably bring his name up a little bit later and kind of the same realm, but we'll get to that a little bit later as we are 1 week away from the opening night of the NFL season, which again is going to be the Baltimore Ravens versus Kansas City Chiefs from the 316. Bob and I agree. From the 816, Drew Tranquil or Jamari Connor?
Ooh.
Tranquil would be an interesting one.
Yeah, I like that answer.
Why do you like the answer of Drew Tranquil?
Because he could really fill that leadership role, and if he does a really good job this year, then you don't really have to worry about signing Nick Bolton in the future.
That's a good point.
Right. And I think he's our best linebacker when it comes to both pass and run coverage. I think he's our best all-around.
And to give it a baseball analogy, he's or a comparison, he's like your Mr. Utility. He could play the outside, play the inside. Yeah. He's got, you know,
exactly
enough brass to be a red ass. And he's also got enough, you know, energy to get that outside, be a run stopper, be a, you know, just a good, solid linebacker. Rookie left tackler, Sua Mataia, is important because he's protecting Patrick Mahomes. Blindside. We saw with the Super Bowl loss, if Patrick Mahomes is not protected, we lose. Micah in Denver.
Yeah, that was the entire offensive line in that Super Bowl. I don't buy that Patrick Mahomes is a blindside because he's constantly moving. Like, it just, you got to be strong on both sides of that offensive line for Patrick Mahomes, or not, because he can avoid the pressure. But like the whole old school blindside left tackle thing, like those are gone, I think, those days. I don't think you see that much anymore.
Or a made-up story, according to the blindside actual story.
So. I mean, he's still talking about this, isn't he? Like, what?
For sure. For sure. Yep.
It was a nice movie. Move on.
Sandra Bullock looked really good in that movie, too.
Yeah.
She's always looked good.
She's always looked good, yeah.
Would you take Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side or Sandra Bullock in Speed?
Blind Side.
Mm. Agree to disagree. Wildcat. But no, down to 1 week. You said Harrison Butker. Max says George Karlaftis. I say Trent McDuffie. Interesting. No offensive players. The text line kind of ran away with Rashee Rice.
Mm-hmm.
As we go to you, 913-586-7965, the most important chief that is not named Mahomes, Kelsey, or Chris Jones to be a successful run. We go to, is it Cheeto? All right, Cheeto, crunchy or puffed?
Gotta be flaming hot, whichever one it is.
Yeah, I like those flaming hot Cheetos. Didn't you get all that stuff all over your fingers?
Yeah, that's why you lick it off and start your day. But what's your most important chief for this year's three-peat, not named Mahomes, Kelsey, or Jones?
It has to be Sua Mataia because his blind side is going to be a rookie that every defense is going to go after. And if you think about the history of his left tackles, Eric Fisher was the last really okay one that we've had.
Fisher was much better than okay. That guy was really good and got off to a bad start his rookie year, and nobody gave him an opportunity to kind of get back. Eric Fisher was a star on this team.
I love Eric Fisher because when we got him, it was a first-round pick, the first round pick that I ever saw in my life, and it happened to be him, and he stayed with us for so long. I love the dude. But as far as our quality afterwards, it's never been anything up to par with his, nor was it a really serviceable option for us. This is a chance for us to not only solidify that position, but if he's a rookie and goes through the three-peat with us for his rookie year, I think that says nothing but greatness is to come in his future, and I'll listen up there after this.
Appreciate the phone call, Cheeto. The fiery hot Cheetos, always a solid option. Really good on a turkey sandwich with cheddar cheese.
Do you ever dip Cheetos in anything? I don't think you need to dip them because the flavor's on the chip.
Cottage cheese. Back in the day when we would
around you can see Mac and I's face right now. We both wanted to vomit.
You and cottage cheese,
love
bro.
Love it, dude. Brioche.
Seriously.
Put it on a brioche bun.
Oh, God. Would you take a brioche bun and just put cottage cheese on it and eat it?
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Oh, God.
It's a healthy snack.
Hy-V has like Hawaiian hamburger rolls that they make, and they're freaking outstanding. And I put peanut butter on one of those on Saturday. Ooh. Ooh, it was good.
I would do that all day.
Yeah, absolutely. But not that's cottage great. Cheese.
Love it. Doritos, nacho cheese chips dipped in cottage cheese. They even have a commercial. They stole my idea. But no, that was the 1 week countdown until we're there. Speaking of a three-peat, and according to DraftKings Sportsbooks, no surprise here, there are 10 teams that have been the most bet teams by handle to win the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs, no surprise, lead that list at plus 500. To win the Super Bowl is plus 500.
Yep.
Like, literally.
18% of the bets coming in for the Super Bowl this year are on the Chiefs.
Which is insane because
it's almost 20% of the money, right?
Crazy. And the thing that's crazy to me is, like, I go back to betting on golf, and it got to a point where Scottie Scheffler, on a Wednesday, before a tournament started, was, like, plus 280 to win a tournament. That's insane. Because, like, literally, before a four-round tournament starts, he's, like, plus 280, where normally it'd be, like, plus 1,000, plus 1,200 for a guy to actually outright win.
I was
going to
say, that's not great odds, plus 280. Terrible odds, right?
That's just how great he was and how determined Vegas was that he was going to be the favorite to win. Yeah. It got down from, like, plus 1,000 or plus 850 to plus, like, 280 for a major tournament. Chiefs plus 500, the next closest team. That's why it's insane to me. The next closest team's odds to win the Super Bowl outright are the Lions at plus 1,200.
Well, they have 11% of the states betting on them, right? Like, so 20% of America is on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. The next highest is 11%.
I'm sorry, the next the highest would be the percentage-wise.
Yeah.
But the next best odds would be the Niners at plus 600.
Well, actually, the 49ers are plus 6.
Yeah, but
said,
only 6%.
And the Ravens are plus 1,000. But, like, America's not betting on those teams,
right? No, they're betting on the Chiefs, Lions, and Eagles as the top three teams to win the Super Bowl. So what they're basically saying to you is that the Chiefs are probably going to represent the AFC, but if there's any team they think could beat them, it's the Lions or the Eagles.
Right. That's exactly what they're saying.
Challenge accepted.
They're looking at, like, the 49ers at plus 600, and they're like, nah, that's not really good odds. I'm not going to bet the 49ers. Or they're looking at the Ravens at plus 1,000, and they're like, nah, it's not really great odds. I'm not going to bet the Ravens because they still have to go through the Chiefs. But even at plus 500, like, you're still going to win some money on Kansas City, right? Like plus 500, you'd like it to be more. You'd like it to be, like, plus 1,700, right? Throw your cash down on that. But at plus 500, you can still win some cash on the Chiefs if you want to take that safe bet. But, you know, it's gambling. A lot of people don't like to take the safe bet in gambling. And so where are you going to get the best odds and have the best opportunity? Probably the Lions coming out of the NFC is probably where you're going to put your money. And I don't want to call it a long shot, but, like, San Francisco's not going to give you a great ROI. And they're not guaranteed because of all the contract disputes that they have going on right now, right? Their left tackle's got a contract dispute. Their wide receiver's got a contract dispute. Before you know it, the quarterback's going to have a contract dispute. So all that's going on in San Francisco. They're at plus 600. Why not bet the Lions at plus 1,200? If you're going to bet $20 on somebody to win the Super Bowl, the Lions give you a better return on investment than San Francisco does, and there's no guarantees that San Francisco's going back to the Super Bowl just because they were there last year and because they have basically the same team coming back. So I like the Lions odds in this one at plus 1,200. If you're looking for that non-Chiefs bet, I think the Lions are pretty good at plus 1,200.
I really like the Texans at plus 1,600, which is 6% of the handle of people, just because, like, the only question is, like, can you beat the Chiefs in the playoffs? Which is hilarious.
Are the Eagles, like, why are people betting heavily on the Eagles this year? Why are they the third most bet team to win the Super Bowl this year? What am I missing on that one? I mean, did I sleep during the offseason?
I know, maybe.
You got Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, people love Saquon Barkley.
But you're still dealing with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni and whether or not they can get along.
Yeah.
You're still dealing with a team that looked exhausted and wiped out. Jason Kelce is or isn't part of the team still. I don't know. But you've got a situation in Philadelphia where they fizzled at the end of last season, and their coach was a whisker away from being fired. Yet it seems like everybody loves Philadelphia going into this season. I'm trying to figure out, like, what did I miss?
They didn't
fizzle.
They were 1-7. They
They were done.
They were, you know, trash.
Like, I mean, they didn't even show up to the playoff game.
Speaking of something you might have missed this weekend, our guy that gives us unlimited content nonstop throughout the year. We haven't even played a damn regular season game.
I know this is.
And John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh, which is the two guys that are relevant in your lives if you're Kansas City. You play one brother opening night, you play one brother twice, and the other brother, Jim, can't seem to just stop being weird, as over the weekend, there were 11 or 12 players that got stuck in an elevator for the Chargers.
Right.
By the way, it was hot. And
they were in Dallas, right?
And yes. Jim Harbaugh gets a little weird. You get in those situations, and it's a test of wills, Harbaugh said. I was proud of each of the guys and the two women that were on the elevator. That's a win. You feel good about yourself. You were challenged. It was a test of will, and you pull it down and pull it in, and you get out. The coach said he just missed being in the elevator that got stuck when he saw everyone, and they emerged from the rescue effort. Quote, and it was hot, Harbaugh said, as each person came off the elevator sweating, and some had the shirt off. Justin Herbert, his hair was a little wet, but his shirt was completely dry. That was another thing that blew me away.
Oh, my God. He's excited that his quarterback didn't break a sweat in an elevator for 2 hours. That shows that he's tough under pressure. What other coach would turn people getting stuck into an elevator to some football metaphor?
His shirt was wet, but his hair was dry.
Just the way it feels, I mean, feels like New Year's Day, you know? Feels like being born. Feels like coming out of the womb, you know? It's like you're in there and it's comfortable and it's safe, and now you're out, you're born, the lights are on, it's bright, you got chaos, people looking at you, people talking at you, and just feels good to, you know, have it happen.
That's a bit for this year's show. I mean, what's Jim gonna say next?
I mean, he went on. Justin Herbert's a leader. He was a rock. Kept everybody calm, Harbaugh said, quoting the players, and everybody kept their poise. What are we doing here? You're stuck in an elevator. Nobody should keep their poise in an elevator. You're stuck.
You know what doesn't exist in four quarters of an NFL game on the field? An elevator.
An elevator. Yeah. Stuck in that. You ever get stuck in one?
No, I have a fear of them. I've seen the movie Speed.
Have you ever been stuck in an elevator, Mac?
No, thank God.
Like one of those two-level Applebee's? Maybe you got stuck going up to the second level or something like that?
I dare you to take the elevator down to the first floor today in this building and let me know what you think about elevators.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
So it works?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never seen anyone use it.
Working is a loosely used term here. You
what
know?
Do they say? It gets the job done?
Yeah, the one in the back side of the building is broken a couple of times. Don't do it. But this story is, I don't want to say funny, but they said the elevator broke somewhere between the 3rd and 15th floor. Oh, okay. Thank you. Like somewhere in between the 3rd and 15th floor. I've never been stuck on an elevator. I hope to never be stuck on an elevator. It sounds terrifying, man. It really does. Like I probably would lose my cool on there. What if your bowels have to move?
Then you just got to go when you got to go. A band that Mac and I probably love, and I think Bob probably loves them too, is reuniting. We ask you if you could go see one band, record one more song, and you could be a part of it. What would that band be? 913-586-7610. Plus, we get into a price limit discussion. That's Bob Fesco. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Mac Morey. This is 96.5 The Fan, and it's your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
It's a glorious Monday as the pink skies are turning into the hot blue skies.
You can see the heat out there already today.
I love it.
Hazy, thick.
A little Monday afternoon, high noons on the golf course, only about 3.
God.
And then, you know, the ball goes further, the roll's better because the ground's hard.
Yeah, it is a hard ground out there today. High sky, too, isn't it? Or is it not?
Sure.
I don't know.
Thin, thick air. I don't know what it is.
Ugh.
I love it. Can't get enough of it. Can't get enough
of it. I will take this over the cold, though, any day of the week.
Of course. Final segment of our 6 o'clock hour. We have to have fans join us. We have to have fun with you on the text line. There was a big announcement this weekend. There is an Oasis reunion.
Yeah, how about that?
It is
15 years in the making. Let's go.
It is all but confirmed as Liam and Noel. the two brothers in the band that split after their first album because the egos got too big.
Oh, wait, really? In a band, the egos got too big? they had a split? God.
They're getting back together and doing a tour.
Yep.
Now, they had a very cryptic message, but either way, that is a band that I grew up listening to.
Yeah, definitely in the wheelhouse of my like late high school, early college days.
Yeah, which this is where the three generations are different.
Right.
But
Mac first heard him on Oldies 95 back in the day.
Yeah, that's probably true. But, Oasis, but yeah.
But tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. is an announcement, August 27th, 2024. One of those bands that I think all of us can go back and you could probably say, oh yeah, Oasis, what you saw? Champagne Supernova, yep. Right? You think about that song a lot.
Did you end up in Wonderwall? An Oasis rabbit hole last night? Cause I know I did. Once I saw that they teased that they were coming back, started playing music and just kind of going down the Oasis rabbit hole. I'm like, I forgot about that song. You know, you kind of forget about songs and life as the years go on. And I'm like, damn, this is a nice trip down memory lane, man. This is like Lawrence 1997 all over again.
So Danny gets the show. He called in. He wants to give us his band. And the question we have for you, so if we can be frank, what band do you wish you could / would reunite and record one more song? So if there's a band out there that you wish to make one more song or an album, whatever it may be, who would they be? Danny, go ahead and take away the airwaves.
Hey, what's going on? Not really so much a band, but it's, I think, in my opinion, the best rap group of all time, Outkast.
Ooh.
I would love to just sit in while they're sitting there working and their penmanship and stuff like that. I think, you know, they're great artists, and I'd love to see them do their thing.
That's an outstanding one, man. Out there, man. I didn't think we'd get, you know.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought we'd get a lot of mainstream, like the Beatles or, you know, or the Rolling Stones or My Sharona. But Outkast is a good one. That is really good. Who do you got, Mac?
Yeah, I'm basic, man.
Applebee's and the Beatles.
Applebee's and the Beatles, baby. That ain't hard to please. Come on.
Doesn't get better than that, right? Now with AI, you could bring back
That's
the Beatles
true.
And
That's
they and they can do their thing.
Or holograms. Whatever.
Or holograms, which I find very odd. But anyway, like I'm not an AI hologram gone. But for me, it's Nirvana. And ooh, I don't know if either of you guys have been to Seattle, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have been or have not been to Seattle.
I've
either
been to
way.
Portland, Oregon. Does that count?
No, it does not. Okay. Because Seattle has this pop culture museum that is just one of the greatest museums that I've ever been to.
And home of the grunge.
They had a whole exhibit on Nirvana and that, you know, era of music in Seattle. They had a whole era or they had a whole exhibit on Pearl Jam, which I missed by like a week. I was really disappointed in that.
Sorry to hear that.
But Nirvana, man, like I think the older I get, literally by the day, I appreciate Nirvana more and more and more. And I go back and listen to their music a lot. It's good workout music, obviously, and whatnot. Sure. But I mean, that was a band who you just didn't have enough of. You just did not have enough of. And sometimes they say, you know, in life, leave them wanting more. I don't know that there's a band out there that has left people wanting more than Nirvana because of the limited amount of time that we actually got to see them and hear them.
Yeah. And if you didn't know this, Bob was actually the baby on the cover of the album,
right.
Swimming for the Dollar.
I was, yeah.
Naked.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's Bob. I thought
Bob.
I knew him from somewhere.
That was me. Yep. That guy's like suing Nirvana, or was a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he never grew.
Right.
If I had to pick one, and I'm biased here because it's one of the best vinyls I own, and it gets a lot of people's attention when we have people over, it's Fleetwood Mac.
Okay, that's a good one.
Obviously, it'll never happen because Christine McVie has passed away.
Yep.
And I don't know if her husband is still alive or not, but I know that Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks will never get back together and write music. Unfortunately, there is an album. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Christine McVie and Lindsey Buckingham did a collab together. It's fantastic. I think it came out like in the mid-90s. But that's a band that, like, I don't know. There's just on the album of Rumors, there is just literally not a skip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're upset when you have to flip the vinyl. And if I could get back or go see a band do another run, Fleetwood Mac would be one of those bands. And unfortunately, I think the reason it is that way is because I know it will never happen.
Did you go see Stevie Nicks when she was with Billy Joel last year?
No.
Yeah, I was, you know, I love Billy Joel, and we're taking the kids to St. Louis at the end of September to see him and Sting together, because my daughter said she regretted not seeing Jimmy Buffett. And
that's kind of cool.
Right?
Like, she said, because she knows how much she enjoys, you know, your
life. Yeah, and she likes Jimmy Buffett as well. And it's cool. Like, you pass down bands to your kids, right? And she said to me, she goes, "Dad, I really regret not getting to see Jimmy Buffett." And I thought about it, I'm like,
same.
You know, I regret not seeing him more than twice, and okay. I only saw Jimmy twice, and I wish I would have gone more. But so she said that, and that's kind of stuck with me as we celebrate a year almost now that Jimmy passed away. She said that she wanted to go see Billy Joel, and I'm like, all right, so we're gonna go, right? And we caught a release on tickets, like it was bizarre, like everything's going for $1,000 or like four for $150, like sold.
You
know?
Yeah, see,
we'll go, and I've never seen Sting or, you know, the Police or anything like that person, so that's going to be cool to see him. But I thought last year when Stevie Nicks played with Billy Joel, as much as I love Billy Joel, I was in awe watching Stevie Nicks, because I think I kept having to tell myself, this is a freaking legend I'm sitting here watching in person right now. I thought she was fantastic at Arrowhead last year.
Yeah, at one point she was a goat on South Park. I really never understood that reference, but
yep.
Either way. But no, like 913-586-7965. If you see any band reunite just once, I thought I was going to see Blink-182. I'm still sore on that.
Yeah, still sore on that. Man. You may get an opportunity, hopefully.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Speaking of being sore, you put in this thing of prices at other stadiums.
Yeah.
How does this make sense to me? And maybe I'm wrong here, but how is a bottle of water $5.99 and a bottle of soda $6.99 at a Commanders game?
That's the way they charge. I mean, that's kind of common for everywhere. I think yesterday at the Royals game, $7 for a bottle of water.
$7.
So brutal. But you buy water. They got these big tanks now. You just fill up that water. I had like four bottles of water yesterday. I didn't have to pee once. It was glorious.
You can also bring in your own water as long as it's sealed, right?
Yeah, right.
I know, but my stepmom will bring in like the 32-ounce Aquafina bottles, keep them, you know, tight.
Right.
Definitely not buying a soda for $6.99.
No, it's a lot, but a beer like $17.50 right now. And my question has always been, what is the limit? Because it doesn't feel like people who complain about the prices, I think, at the ballgame are people who don't go. Because I never see anybody at a ballgame not spending the money on the concession prices, right? You go to a game and people spend that money on their food items. Like, my wife yesterday got tacos at the ball game, right?
Really? In that heat?
Yeah, I know.
Brutal,
yeah,
Jim.
I had a sausage with peppers and onions. It was delightful. And
eat that in the shade.
And so she got these tacos. I'm like, how much were the tacos? She said $10.99 for three tacos. I go, that's not bad at all. That was a loud knuckle crack, bro.
Sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Sorry, it's habit.
They were street tacos.
Okay, yeah.
So
okay.
Three for $10.99. I'm like, that you're gonna pay that or more at a restaurant, you know, if you're gonna go get three. And a lot of restaurants now give you two tacos for like $15.99. So I didn't think that was that bad, but like, the price of beer is expensive, and I understand that, but I never see anybody at a game saying, I'm not buying a beer because they're expensive. Like, how much beer is being sold at all of these events, regardless of what the price is? They're just going to keep pushing the price up until people say, no, I'm not spending that kind of money anymore. I don't know what that price point is for people.
Need to put a damn Applebee's at Kauffman Stadium.
That's what they should do, right? But I'm talking NFL, too. Like, what is the price point for you where you're not going to spend money on a beer inside the stadium? Because I thought for me for a while it was the $10 mark.
Yeah, right.
We have surpassed that son of a gun.
Dan, real quick, that's how much we love callers. We're supposed to go to a break, but give us your band you'd love to see reunite.
It was going to be the Outfield.
Oh, okay.
38 Special.
Thanks for the phone call, Dan. We appreciate it. Josie's on a vacation far away. The Chiefs aren't that far away.
The Outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We get into some other topics that involve the Chiefs, cornerback rankings as well, and we got to get a little unbiased when it comes to this roster. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is Fesco and Dusty. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports Radio.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.